Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Kayfa halak? Happy Saturday. This is your girl, your host, Sabrina Mills, the Adult Muslim Woman Podcast. And I'm coming back on this morning with part two of my live that I did yesterday. I did a live of the signs of the emotionally stunted partner. And I wanted to make sure I did a part two. I got several messages and inboxes as it relates to this live that I did yesterday. And I wanted to do a quick part two for you guys. And so just to give context really, really quickly as a very quick additional reminder, we are in Trauma Bonded No More. I am offering a workshop. It is a three-part week workshop. For those that have the questions, it is one price. It's just three parts to the workshop, Trauma Bonded No More. It will be three Sundays from 11 to 1, and there's just three parts to it. So that's why it's broken up into 3 weeks. But it is a workshop called Trauma Bonded No More. Amazing, amazing workshop. So I'm doing a couple of lives with concepts and topics that are relative to this particular workshop, things you will get from the workshop, and maybe a little bit of like deeper understandings built from the workshop. So one of the things I talked about yesterday, assalamu alaikum and good morning, is this idea of the emotionally stunted partner and what that tends to look like, what those signs are. And those are super important as we talk about trauma bonded no more, because an emotionally stunted partner, an individual who typically has or wants to be in a cyclical pattern, a relationship that wants to kind of pull you into a cycle, typically are always going to have the theme of, or the pattern of emotional immaturity. Walaikum salam, good morning. So this is just part two. And a lot of times I get these signs and people are like, okay, what do I do with it now, right? Like my partner is absolutely emotionally stunted, emotionally immature, sound like a Marjia. And it's like, okay, what do I do now, right? And so I want to offer just a couple of tips. And again, the encouragement is for you to join the workshop. The encouragement is for you to get on my calendar and have a one-to-one if you want to have a deeper dialogue around it. So these are just surface level tips. This is my little disclaimer. Again, these are my, Sabria, as a behavioral coach, surface level tips, okay? So to go deeper, you have to kind of do some more extensive work. So number one, I would say is typically understand when someone is like drawn into an emotionally unavailable or emotionally stunted or immature partner, they typically may have a desire to fix. For men, they may have a desire to be the hero. For women, they have the tendency to want to fix. It's really important to do some self-analysis, because the key is understanding that regardless of your situation with your partner, you cannot fix nor control another person. This is the most difficult thing for a lot of people to understand. Somewhere in the brain, people believe that they can get into an intimate relationship and they somehow believe that they'll have boundaries or they have standards. And that means that another person has to adopt, change, or adjust to meet those standards. And that is simply not true. That is a true misunderstanding that comes from your own need to control, your own desire to fix, which stems from a deeper rooted insecurity. So it's really important to have that self-analysis and self-check to understand, like, what am I attempting to do? What am I trying to solve, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the tendency to want to fix is really important. I often deal with, if I'm talking to women, it's like this tendency to want to fix. First of all, really unpacking this desire and understanding that your desire to fix is going to draw in an emotionally stunted individual. Because remember, one of the key things about a person who's emotionally immature, sound like them, good morning everybody, is that they don't want to do any work. Think about it, when you're a kid and you're trying to skate out of responsibility, doing work is a big time no-no. So if I can get in a relationship with a fixer, if I can get in a relationship with somebody who's super got it together and I know that they can put it all in place for me, I have totally hit the jackpot as an emotionally immature person. So understand that if you have a hero syndrome or if you have the tendency to want to fix, you have a sign on your head. Emotionally immature, emotionally stunted people come here. I got you. I just want you to understand that that's the landing place and from the place in which you are attracting and drawing in an emotionally stunted individual. It is in your tendency to want to fix or save somebody, okay? So understanding that this person does not want to do the work, so you are going to, what's going to be instinct in a person that is like a fixer is that they're going to come in and they're going to offer the solutions, and they're also going to have, this is the most difficult thing I have with fixers, I have clients who are fixers and they have a very difficult time, unless they're coming into self-awareness, very difficult time understanding that their need to fix is stemmed from their need to control. Right? You want to control another person. You ultimately are struggling with probably controlling what's happening within with your life. There's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of insecurities there. So your tendency to fix someone, well, you can control that. If I can fix you and get you, give you the solutions, I'll lay it all out for you. I'll tell you what to do. Well, now I have a sense of control, right? So it's worse when they think their money is sufficient. Yeah. Absolutely. When who thinks their money is sufficient? Oh, the emotionally immature partner? Because child, Lord, yes. Lord, yes. That's a whole nother conversation, right? They think that that's the extent of what they have to bring to the table is like, you know, financial support and resources. And then they don't want to do any type of relationship work. And then there is, like I said, the entitlement there. The entitlement, just like a kid has, is that you're going to do for me. Like a child, you know, we have these rotten kids nowadays because, you know, it's different in this age. And, you know, they have this entitlement. They think that they're supposed to have, you know, all these meals laid out for them. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. It's the same thing with an emotionally stunted partner. Like they're really sitting there entitled thinking that everything is supposed to be done for them in the relationship. So a big part of working with an individual, if you're in a relationship with this type of person, is to stop enabling. Stop enabling these individuals, okay? And what does that look like to stop enabling? So many of us, we don't know that we are in the business of enabling, but that's typically, like I said, when it comes in, when we want to come save someone as the hero or we want to come fix someone, right? We are actually enabling the behavior that we don't want to continue to experience, we are actually enabling that to continue. And I wanted to break that down really quickly because that's super important when we understand, like I deal with behavior analytics. So when I look at or analyze a person's behavior, I'm looking at what's sort of reinforcing that behavior to continue, or what is like what's the operant conditioning and as it relates to the brain that it's causing this behavior to continue or is causing this behavior to stop, right? Or to become extinct, right? We sort of look at how that operates in the brain. So I wanted to give you a little tidbit about this so you can better understand. So typically, if there's anything else you want to get from this live, it is you cannot control another person, but you can absolutely control yourself. You can control how or you can set the standard for how somebody is to treat you. And so how do you do that is what we call with boundaries is the easiest way. So again, what we allow to continue or to exist can reinforce a behavior to continue. So if you have an individual who's a completely emotionally immature, they take very little responsibility, or even worse, they're super impulsive. So they end up doing really, really stupid stuff, right? That may even cause you harm, that may cause you a lot of challenges, right? Because they're impulsive. A child is impulsive. A child wants something, they go get it. A child, you know, wants to do something, ooh, that's exciting, let me go get it. But if you're in an adult intimate relationship that has commitment and that has agreements, well, you can't operate from a place of impulsivity, because now you're not considering the consequences. You're not considering how is this going to harm or affect another person, right? That requires emotional maturity. So an emotional immature person may act out of impulse, not thinking, maybe not really wanting to cause harm. They cause you harm. And what happens is that partner tends to fix or enable it, right? Offer solution. Let's go to counseling. Well, maybe if you did this, I know some individuals or some partners really try to set out like a plan of action for their partner to help them avoid their impulsivity or their lack of self-control. You cannot do that. And actually, you are enabling the behavior to continue. So either I am going to put boundaries in place, okay, loving, healthy boundaries in which I am setting the expectation or setting the standard for how I am to be treated, and I am essentially either going to reinforce the behavior that I want to see. I am not going to reinforce the behavior I don't want to see. Not only that, I am going to offer consequences for the behavior I don't want to see, because that is the only way an actual behavioral, you can send a signal to the brain to adjust the behavioral pattern. And I'm telling you this from a behavioral analytical point of view. If I want to modify someone's behavior or assist someone in modifying their behavior, I have to look at what I'm doing to reinforce or extinct the behavior. Okay, so either there's going to be consequences or there's going to be reinforcers in which I'm looking at in order to modify the behavior. That's what sends the signal to adjust the behavioral pattern. If you think you're going to love, support, lay out a roadmap, and that's going to adjust the behavior a pattern, you are sadly mistaken. That is just not the way it works on a neurological level. So I wanted to just offer that really quickly. Thank you. I appreciate it. They often ignore boundaries until you leave them. Well, Amantala, I would adjust that. I would say that emotionally immature individuals have a very difficult time with boundaries. They often will try to ignore and try their best to get around boundaries, especially in the absence of consequences. It's not that you have to leave them, it's that you have to institute consequences and you have to follow through, right? And remember, this isn't about like punishments. This isn't like, I'm going to get you back, or I'm trying to hurt you, I got to teach you, or I got to get you, sucker. This is about, this is how I'm going to be treated. This is how I am going to ensure that I am safe. This is how I'm going to ensure that I am taken care of. This is not going to work for me. And if this continues, then X, Y, and Z is going to occur, right? Or X, Y, and Z won't occur, right? And so these are those consequences that must also be in place when you're actually trying to put boundaries in, especially with an emotionally stunted person, because they are going to try, just like a kid, they're going to try to skate around it. They're going to try to resist it. They may even just like flat out ignore it. There's a lot of responses to boundaries that people partake in. And the biggest mistake people have is they let that stuff slide. And then you enable and you communicate to a person through your actions and behavior that I am not, like, my boundaries are not really real. Like, you can, it's just talk. I'm just talking. I'm not going to back anything I say up. I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, you can really treat me the way that you decide to treat me. Like, that's really what happens when you put in loose boundaries. So let's break that down really quick. What do you do when you are trying to voice your needs with an emotionally immature person and they break down sobbing or get enraged and walk away? Tantrums, sweetie, tantrums. Do you keep trying to have your emotional needs known, or do you stop trying or adjust your expectations? So Farida, I think the best way, and I'm so glad you asked that question, and I know you're an educator. So I always say the best way to look at this sort of scenario is to look at it as how you would deal with your own child, right? And so a lot of times when I deal as a behavior therapist, the reason why I love what I do is because I get to deal with kids. I get to deal with children when they're developing these behavioral plans. I get to see it raw. I get to really understand human behavior through children, right? And then I can apply that in working with adults. So whenever you're looking at these situations and you're trying to figure out how to deal with your adult situation as it relates to emotional immaturity, put yourself in a parent-child role if you can. And so if I am instituting a boundary or a requirement or a standard with my child, and they are exhibiting a tantrum-like behavior, right? They have tantrum-like behaviors, they're crying, they're throwing fits, hissy fits, and things like that. That tantrum is a form of communication, right? It's a form of communication, first and foremost, that they do not have the skills or capabilities to emotionally emote, express what is the challenge, what is the trigger, okay? That's first and foremost. What's the upset? That's first and foremost. So you do have to understand that that type of behavior, there's a communication behind it. That person is lacking some sort of social skills and coping skills in order to dealing with a stressful, challenging situation. So there's your empathy piece. We always want to have, loving boundaries. We always want to respond from a place of love. That's your empathy piece, is understanding that first and foremost. Second of all, I know for an absolute fact as a mom, I am not going to enable tantrum-like behavior. for my child, right? If I enable, give in to a tantrum, my life as a parent will be hell with that child moving forward. We all know that if we are parents, right? We all know it will be hell for a very long time, because what you're conditioning, what you're communicating to that child is that this is how you're going to receive what you're seeking. So unless child is communicating, either the child wants attention, the child wants some sort of tangible, the child wants something. The adult, the immature, the emotionally immature partner, they want something from you. How are you going to communicate? What is your response to that communication? What are you responding? Are they able to access what they're attempting to seek from you through negative, problematic, dysfunctional behaviors? If so, give into it. If so, adjust your boundaries. If so, because that is where you will essentially reinforce the behavior to continue. If not, if you stand firm, this will not be acceptable. What I would typically do to a child, a very little child, that would be completely ignored, which means that not only would the behavior would be ignored, but what you're seeking, you will not be able to obtain it. In fact, you will actually lose access to me. The way that we sort of reinforce, the way we sort of adjust tantrum-like behavior in children is that we remove even ourselves as a reinforcer. So not only are you not obtaining what you're seeking, but you've also lost me, my love, my joy, my attention, my support. You've also lost me for an allotted amount of time, right? As long as you're exhibiting and exuding that behavior, I am not going to reinforce you with me. Really, we have this thing in behavior analytics with children. When they exude that type of behaviors, we actually turn our whole bodies. We have a flat affect. We don't show emotions. We don't connect. We disconnect. We actually disconnect. So that's a very long-winded. There's a lot more specifics with that. But the bigger thing is you do not reinforce it. You do not adjust your boundaries. You are very firm with it, and you ensure that you're communicating what the expectation is as far as how you are to be treated. Again, when you're dealing with an emotional, immature person, they don't have the skills. So you do have to understand here that you, although you have a boundary, they don't have the skills. So either they have to choose that they're going to learn the skills to adjust to you, or they're going to maybe not make it in that relationship and union. And both is okay as a suitable option. What's the solution when a spouse's emotional immaturity impacts their vulnerability where marital intimacy is concerned? Child, it's going to impact their vulnerability where marital intimacy is concerned. It's going to. It's a byproduct of that. So again, the thing to understand that if a person is emotionally stunted, this is work that they have to do for themselves. That's first and foremost. The best you can do as the other partner is to put boundaries in place and to really not reinforce certain behaviors that are harmful to you to continue, which means that you cannot fix the person. You have to come out of the realm of trying to fix the situation, right? A person that is struggling with this, they typically need outside support, because there is a lot of adjustments that has to go into a person who did not go through all the stages of emotional development. For those type of people, that does require work. And a person who is stunted does not want to do work. So do you see how there is a real challenge, and you can't do the work for them? And so now you're in a challenging situation, but you can set a standard of how you are to be treated in that situation. And you can communicate that through your boundaries, and that person can make a decision. Either they're going to adjust to keep and maintain the reinforcement of having you in their lives, or they're not able to do that. And they're maybe going to make a choice to go with another partner that's a little bit easier, that has lax boundaries, that maybe has very low self-esteem, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of emotionally immature people, that's what they end up doing, unfortunately. Thinking about the parallel for clarity to remove your processing from the emotion of the moment. Okay, so let me get back into it. Understand your need to fix. Boundaries, 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 boundaries. So again, I cannot stress this enough, is boundaries when you're dealing with an emotionally immature individual. Now, I always say we always go wrong in the realm of boundaries. I always want to say when you think, I want you to look at boundaries in this way. I'm not going to give you too much because it's going to be in the workshop. But I want you to look at your emotional boundaries, your mental, your physical boundaries just to start. Like, I want you to think about that in terms of your relationship. And I want you to think about, are my boundaries loose? Or do I have very, very loose boundaries? Are they very rigid or are they balanced, healthy, right? And so a loose boundary is a boundary where it's like, okay, honey, you know, I don't, you can't, let me think of something that's common I hear all the time. You know, you can't just, I don't know, be on dating apps. I don't know. I got something random, you know, but you can't, but this is very common. You can't be, you know, you can't, you know, being on dating apps violates the commitment that we have. It violates me, right? It doesn't make me feel safe, secure, trusting. Like, my safety needs have to be intact in order for me to exist in a loving space and a loving relationship with you. So being in a relationship with someone who's not really considerate of the fact of our agreement or our reciprocity and commitment violates my sense of safety. And that's a big no-no. Like, I have to have, my safety needs have to be intact in order for me to exist in an intimate relationship. Okay, so perhaps that's, you know, we got that, this person just doing whatever, they impulsive, so they just doing whatever, right? They just thinking, they just shiny stuff. Ooh, I want something shiny. Or I'm just not thinking, I'm just doing something, I'm not really thinking of the consequences. Maybe I don't mean to be unfaithful or dishonest or anything like that. I'm just doing, because I'm five, and emotionally I'm five. So I'm just doing. And so you have your boundary with that is telling them, okay, don't do this. I don't want you to do this. Get off this app. Matter of fact, you know, let's lock up the computer. Let me go through your social media 10,000 times a day. And that's my boundary, right? And the person can, you continuously find them on this dating app, or you continuously see them chatting with new people. And I'm just going to constantly get upset, you know, maybe go off, maybe cuss you out. Now I'm going to, like, you know, go through your computer, go through your phone even more. I'm going to ask you for your, you know, just that's my boundary. That's a very loose boundary, right? And then you're operating in the space between loose and rigid. Because I always say with rigid is a boundary where it's like, it really cuts off connection. It's honestly like people are trying to control another person. That is not a boundary, my love. Boundaries are about keeping you safe. That has nothing to do with controlling the actions and outcomes of another person, right? You can only control or set the standard for how somebody is to treat you. And if somebody can't meet that standard of treatment, then they cannot exist in your life. That's point blank period. I have to stay safe. What you decide to do as another human being that's going to stand before a law, like I'm going to stand before a law, is completely up to you. So I'm not, you know, we're not doing all of that, right? And you don't have to do all of that. Why are you driving yourself crazy trying to control another person when you can simply set a standard and you can get the respect that you deserve? Or, like I said, you put yourself in a position where you're not necessarily dealing with that disrespect. Okay, so again, a lot of people put in very loose boundaries and they're actually thinking that they're putting in healthy, balanced boundaries. So it's really important that when you have a standard that you're communicating in effectively and you're communicating how it affects you. And if someone violates that, you have to be very clear with that consequences for you, and you have to follow that through. This isn't about punishing somebody. This isn't about your fear of abandonment, that, oh my gosh, if I put something in place that my partner may leave me. This isn't about that. This is about the fact that you have a right to be safe. You have a right to be mentally and emotionally well. You have a right to be physically healthy and safe. Like, nobody has a right to get into a voluntary space with you and to violate that. No, nobody has that right. No, not one human being on this earth. So you have the right to protect yourself, and your boundaries are about that. And you have to make this idea of your boundary less about the other person and your emotional unmet needs, and more about you, and more about taking care of you, and more about you being safe, and more about you being loved, and more about you being respected. It has to be about that. Otherwise, you're going to put boundaries in place that are either too loose or too rigid. And both, and one gets you completely mistreated, disrespected in a relationship that you're not really satisfied with. And the other, it just blocks out love. You know, you end up being the crazy psycho controlling nut job that nobody ultimately wants to be in a relationship with. Both are no good. You want to come into the middle ground. You want to have balanced boundaries with this individual. And you want to be able to teach people through your boundaries how you are to be treated, how you are to be treated, how they are supposed to exist in a relationship with you. And that's the whole point of it. Sorry for that tangent. You can't have a tantrum every time. It's time to address an issue in your relationship. Absolutely. So that's super important. I can't stress that enough. We will definitely break down and actually do a lot of boundary practice in the workshop. One of our days are going to be like primarily dedicated to boundaries. So I really want to make sure that if you guys, if this is something that you feel like, okay, maybe I don't need the whole trauma bonded workshop, but I definitely need to know how to put in loving boundaries, then the workshop is for you, because I'm going to dedicate a lot of time into boundaries. Understand that your emotionally immature partner who's dealing with impulsivity, who's dealing with lack of accountability, who's dealing with probably things like stonewalling, just really like immature responses, tantrum-like behavior, they're going to require boundaries around all of that. And I want you to think about what is going to keep you emotionally well, what is going to keep you mentally well in a relationship. And that's what you need to start to think about as it relates to creating your boundaries, right? What is going to keep you well? Not as what is what they're going to do so that they can be the ideal partner in your mind, or they're not going to trigger, you know, your insecurity or your fear of abandonment. That if you're creating a boundary around that, there it's going to either be loose or rigid. All right. So the last part of this that I would say is this idea of like, you know, instead of fixing, you can be supportive. So I always say if people that really want to fix their partners, you know, there is an alternative to fixing. And the alternative is that where you're not really coming in and you're offering like a solution or a remedy or telling people what to do, but you are there as a support, right? If I really love my kid, I love my child, and I want to really teach them the area of responsibility. I really want them to learn how to be responsible. Well, maybe I'm not telling them exactly what to do. I'm not going to, if I'm really effective as a parent, I'm not going to come from a point of control, right? That's usually not effective. You can tell your kids, you better do this, this, and that all day. But, you know, if they're a rebel, if they're intent on doing something different, they're just going to go about and sneak and get it another way, right? So that's not really an effective way to deal with your children. So I want to teach them responsibility. I'm going to serve as a support, a loving support, which means that I'm going to, you know, maybe ask you a lot of questions as a mom, like, okay, what is it that you think would help you solve this problem? I may offer you some resources. I may have some things laid out for you. I may like, oh, you know, I found this great therapist for you. Or I found this great therapist. What do you think? Or this is a number, or this is a resource. I can be resourceful. I can be supportive in that way, but I'm not telling you what to do, nor am I coming in with the solutions and this is what you need to do. I'm not fixing it for you, but I'm here as a support. I'm here as a resource. I'm here if you need me, right? I'm here maybe to help you inquire and look deeply within yourself to see how you're going to solve this problem. That's a very loving space. But in order for me to do that, I have to unattach myself to your behavior. And this is where this is the most challenging part ever, right? So if my child makes a mistake, and I'm using children because it's very easy to understand. When we talk about partners, people get confused. If my child makes a mistake on their quest to be responsible, learn responsibility, if I'm taking that super personal, if I'm making that about me, if I make that about my worth as a parent, if it's all about that, then I'm going to be crushed and destroyed with you making a mistake. That's why a lot of parents feel the need to control their children, because they're actually trying to support the connection that they're drawing from their child success and their worthiness. You've attached your self-worth to being a good mom. And a lot of us attach our self-worth to being a good wife or being a good husband. So my husband's failure, my husband's mistake, my husband's, you know, whatever it is, has a direct relationship to my worthiness. And that's where the problem lies. So in order for me to really serve as a support with this emotionally immature partner, I actually have to sort of depersonalize your behavior from me. It can't be attached to my self-worth. It can't be attached to like my primal needs. And that's the work that you have to do. That's the work that you need to go to therapy for, counseling for, if you have that struggle, because you're not going to be able to exist in that relationship with that partner because their behavior is going to be directly correlated to your core beliefs about yourself. And that is going to destroy you. And that's going to drive you to try to fix them. And that's going to drive you to enable them. And that's going to drive you to be in a very unhealthy relationship and promoting dysfunctional behavior. And not only that, you're contributing to a generational pattern because you probably have children. Children are looking towards you and towards your relationship. So now you're creating a generational pattern around some of this stuff. This is very, 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 very important. That's why we have to individually make sure that we are doing the work within ourselves before we think, oh, my partner is so immature and they need to get it together and I need to figure out how I can help them. No, I want you to really do a self-check and determine if my partner does X, Y, and Z, what are the thoughts? What are the core beliefs that I have about myself? Because if my self-worth is attached to their behavior, I am in trouble. And I am the one that requires the work. I am the one that has to do some fixing within me. I'm going to adjust all my fixing powers and my hero syndrome back into me. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to fix myself, because otherwise I'm going to destroy myself in this relationship with this other person. And so that's my biggest mantra, my biggest tangent that I could offer anybody that's dealing and navigate this. May Allah make it easy. I wanted to offer a quick resource to you guys. This is a really great book, Set Boundaries, Find Peace. It's by a Black woman, Nedra Glover Towab, and she's amazing. She actually did a red table talk with Jada Pinkett. She came on to talk about boundaries. That's a great, great, great table talk, by the way, if you want some resources. But this is great. This is on Amazon. It's not that expensive. It really takes you, and we're going to dive into this book in our workshop. But this is really great, and I love the title, Set Boundaries, Find Peace, because if you have boundaries, my love, you will find peace, okay? It's a really, I always say boundaries is such a solution when you're navigating these relationships, these trauma bonds, emotionally immature partners, et cetera, et cetera. The solution lies in your ability to set healthy, loving boundaries with people that you choose to be in a voluntary relationship with. Facts, our self-worth should not be attached to anyone. Yes, hey doctor, the doctor's in the room. I gotta get with you, girl. You're definitely coming back for season 5. Dr. Talia, who does a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal work. She did a podcast with us, I want to say 2 seasons ago, but she was actually talking about the cycle of abuse. And she did a powerful job. So I really am very appreciative of those coming in. All right, y'all, you know, I had to release all of that, but I hope this was helpful. I don't want to just come on and only say, like, what are the signs? And, you know, people get really bogged down, especially if they're dealing with a spouse and they know, like, this person is like, I'm living with a 9-year-old, right? And I don't really know what to do. And I just offered you like all the signs to just reinforce the fact that you are, in fact, with an emotionally stunted individual. But then people are like, what do I do from there? Like, is there any hope? A lot of people don't want to just leave their partner or get a divorce. And I completely understand that. And I don't think that's the solution. Like, I don't necessarily think that's the solution. I do think if you're dealing with an individual as a result of their emotional stunt, they are have developed like narcissistic traits, abusive traits. They're using manipulation and gaslighting and all these harmful things to navigate their own emotional stunt, right? Their lack of emotional development, then yeah, that's a problem. And you need to move yourself out of that relationship. But that doesn't apply to every situation. And there are solutions to be had. And you can help, their behavioral patterns can be adjusted. But again, you have to, if you're the reinforcer, if you're the person that's either reinforcing the behavior to continue or discontinue, you hold a lot of control in your boundaries if that behavioral pattern is going to continue to exist in your life. So you do have some ability to be able to adjust, again, how people's behavior affect you or what behaviors people choose to exude in their relationship with you, because you are the most powerful reinforcer if you are the spouse or a partner to someone, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khairan, I love you guys. This is exceptional advice and it works if you have strength to work on it, but both of you. Shonda, yeah. It's work though. This is work. That's why they say marriage is half of deen. You know, we say this like it's a joke, but marriage, why is marriage half of deen? And I always say, instead of saying like marriage is half of deen, I'm like marriage is half of this journey, this human experience. Like, if you can really master yourself, because ultimately it's about mastering yourself, if you're able to exist in a healthy, reciprocal, long-term relationship with another person, well, then you've done half the work of mastery of self. And that's really a big part of this journey that we're on. This is great. Thank you. Jazakallah, Kaiden. Oh, Sheree, what'd you say? Phenomenal advice. I always look forward to your live. Thank you so much. They validate, answer questions that help me understand what I didn't understand about me and people I have been with. Yeah, alhamdulillah, man. Allah make it easy, man. Listen, bro. It's hard out here in these streets. It's hard out here in these streets. And one of the things I can just tell you, if I just give my own testimony really quickly, I have, you know, as a person who's, you know, tried to follow this advice in my own personal life, it is very difficult. And it's easy to say it and it makes sense. And people are like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do that. But actually doing and putting it in practice, like if you really love somebody and, you know, you have to like really institute boundaries and then like they don't wanna respect your boundaries and now I gotta institute consequences. Man, that's super difficult. It's super challenging. I could just tell you from one person to another, super difficult. And you got to fight yourself and you got to fight all your own primal, your own childhood stuff comes to the surface. Your need to want to fix. Maybe you have a fear of abandonment. Maybe you have a fear of or unmet need around belonging. Like you want to be able to belong. You want to be able to be connected. You want to be able to be loved, right? Those are unmet needs and you're seeking that. But you have to fight that and you have to work on yourself so that you're not existing in an abusive situation, in a situation where you're mistreated, where you're not passing generational patterns. I got three daughters looking at me. I can't have somebody up in here just doing whatever. Like, I just can't do that. I have a generational pattern that I'm conscious about setting with my three daughters. And that's the amana, that's the responsibility that we have, right? We take each, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the, and forgive my tangent, just hold on. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the breath in us, when he gives us the gift of life, when he puts us here on this earth, it comes with an amana, it comes with a trust, it comes with a responsibility. I can't blame my mama and my papa because of whatever it is that they were dealing with in their generation. I have three people for me that are looking to me to set patterns for their life. I'm responsible. So again, my heart goes out to anyone that is actively doing this work or has to do the ugly job of this. But I promise you that there is beauty on the other side of it and there is peace on the other side of it. And let me tell you, that's the real bag. Peace, internal peace, no matter your situation, no matter who's in your life, no matter who's... That, my loves, is the real bag. And I'm talking about peace within yourself and peace in your relationship with the Most High. Because that right there is makes you an untouchable force here on this earth. May Allah make it so for each and every one of us. And I know I just went on, y'all. Sorry about that. You know, the skill is not swoop in and fix your partner. The hardest thing ever. It really is. It really is, Farida. Fixing and it's interesting because I love my fixer clients. I love them. They're like my besties. But you know, when I'm talking to my fixer clients, you know, it's this idea of like this altruism, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like this sense of like noble, like I'm helping someone and I did this and I did that. And it's like, sweetie, how are you're not helping anybody because you're violating yourself. You're violating you. You can't help anybody else if you're violating you. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. And essentially, that's very, very dysfunctional, toxic, and harmful to you. So being a fixer is actually not as noble as we would like to think in our brains, because fixers always want to, you know, kind of, that's how they justify them continuing their fixing habits. Because like, no, I just saved this person. No, sweetie. You drowned. So nobody got saved, actually. And that person definitely is enabled. Yeah, it's real hard. I have walked away, but now I'm seeing where I was passive and tried to love into correction. I have some boundaries I need to strengthen for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing is like, I want to say that I think you make such a powerful point, you know, this idea of like walking away. And even like sometimes, you know, you may Google and like, how do you deal with an immature partner, or how you deal with a difficult toxic, you know, not toxic, not abusive. Those people need to be left. But, you know, how do you deal with these type of partners? And it's always like, okay, just leave and find somebody new. But, you know, I always say like boundaries, rigid boundaries are not, do not serve you as well. Rigid boundaries keeps you on the outside of belonging. Rigid boundaries does not support our human need of connection. It prevents, it's like a building a brick wall, right? Sometimes somebody will do something and we're just like, oh, I'm done. And you know, you're done. And you know, it's lights out. But that's also, you have to be conscious of like setting too rigid of boundaries as well, and knowing how to set that healthy balance, and then knowing how to follow through with your consequences. Now, at the end of the day, if somebody does not know how to respect your boundaries, and they want to try to skate, skip, hop, avoid, ignore, act like they didn't know, you know, that's, I love that with emotionally immature partners, when they act like they don't know, they act so like, I don't know, like, I don't get it. It's like that's don't fall for that, you guys. Shakran, thank you. It's actual work difficult, especially leaving when you are ready to have something great and move on. Oof, tell me about it. Rebuild a man, what the hell? I have this running joke with my, with a really, really close friend of mine. He's a supporter of the platform too. And we have this running joke where it's like the build a man, build a woman workshop. Like it's, you know, close that shop. You know what I mean? Many of us have these build a man, build a woman workshops that we've had open for many times or many situations, but you know, it's officially closed, right? We're not building nobody. Everybody has to do their own work. You drowned and that person was enabled. That's it. Yeah, subhanAllah. May Allah make it easy for each and every one of us. Jazakallah khairan for tuning in this morning. I really hope that it was beneficial. May Allah allow us to have balance here on this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see. And one of the things is that the ultimate example of balance is our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm so in love with the Rasul. I was reminded yesterday by the father of my children. We were speaking about something and he said something really powerful. He's a great student of knowledge. He's really knowledgeable. Alhamdulillah, may Allah elongate his life. But he was talking about, oh my gosh, what were we talking about? We were talking about this idea of like, you know, these relationships. And he was saying like, look at the Prophet Sabria. He was like, look at how the Prophet was. Like, he was very emotional. Like, he cried when it was time to cry. Like, he was really deeply connected. He was like really deeply in love. But he had boundaries. And he also was very balanced. And he also was very appropriate. When it was time to be firm, it was time to be firm. Right? When it was time to, you know, go to war, it was time to go to war. When his, you know, it was a time when his wives were, you know, cutting a new one, and he had to set boundaries. Does anybody remember that with the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Very good example of boundaries, but he had to remove himself from his wives. And it was actually instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, it was actually an instruction, but that was a very good example of those boundaries that you had to put in place. Now, when he did that with his wives, he had to like this, separate himself from them, like, they got it, didn't they? Wasn't it clearly communicated that either you're gonna fall in line, this is the expectation here in this relationship with our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either that or, you know what I'm saying, you might be replaced. It's not going to work for you. A great example, a great prophetic example of boundaries. And also, like I said, it was in a direct instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there's ever any question about boundaries in your relationship, and I'm going to especially speak to women, because it's this idea where I've spoken to some sisters and they're like, oh, but you know, my husband said I have to listen and obey everything he says, or something like that. Or like some, this idea, like I can't put boundaries in place if he says he's not going to do, or I can't. And sweetheart, heart, I need you to go right back to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need you to understand that you can absolutely put boundaries in place. There are prophetic examples of boundaries, and that don't fall for no okie dokes with spiritual abuse. Okay, boundaries is an essential part of people being in a relationship with you, and that is enforced by our deen. So I wanted to leave and say that. I talk about balance so much. It's imperative and an ongoing space to create. Jazakallah. Have a wonderful Saturday. I look forward to connecting with you guys. Again, on my link tree, I have Trauma Bonded No More workshop. Sign up for that. Like I said, a lot of work on boundaries. We're going to go over trauma bonded relationships. We're going to go over the emotionally immature partner. And I also have a group cohort coaching coming up because my one-to-ones are really, really full. I still see how you guys are trying to book my one-to-ones, but I'm like, ooh, I'm kind of full of my one-to-ones. But I am offering a group coaching cohort, and this, and it, and that's just as effective. You'll still get exactly what you would get in a one-to-one. It just, again, it's just going to be in a group setting. Jazakallah khairan. Love you guys dearly. Assalamu alaikum.